A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as he usually did. He stood up to read, and they handed him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord has been given to me, for he has anointed me. He sent me to bring the good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, to the blind, new sight, to set the downtrodden free, to proclaim the Lord's year of favour." He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the assistant and sat down. And all eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to speak to them. "This text is being fulfilled today, even as you listen." They won the approval of all, and they were astonished by the gracious words that came from his lips. They said, "This is Joseph's son, surely." But he replied, "No doubt you will quote me the saying, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and tell me, 'We've heard all that's happened at Capernaum. Do the same here in your own countryside.'" And he went on, "I tell you solemnly, no prophet is ever accepted in his own country. There were many widows in Israel, I can assure you, in Elijah's day, when heaven remained shut for 3 years and 6 months, a great famine raged throughout the land. Elijah was not sent to any one of these. He was sent to a widow at Zarephath, a Sidonian town. In the prophet Elisha's time, there were many lepers in Israel, but none of these was cured except the Syrian Naaman. When they heard this, everyone in the synagogue was enraged. They sprang to their feet and hustled them out of the town, took them up to the brow of the hill their town was built on, intending to throw them down the cliff. But he slipped through the crowd and walked away." And this is the gospel of the Lord. There are three people whose birthdays are celebrated in the liturgy of the church: John the Baptist, Mary Our Lady, and Jesus Our Lord. Three birthdays celebrated, all of which witness to the new age, to the sense that something has changed irrevocably. And that's our faith. When the world seems dull, ordinary, but it seems autonomous, doing its own thing, we remember that everything has changed before we were born, and after we die, everything has changed. The death of saints now is a different matter. We celebrate many deaths. The death of our Lord, John the Baptist, and Our Lady, but also many saints, martyrs, or even saints who died quietly and peacefully. Indeed, most feast days are feasts of the death of the saints. John the Baptist's death is significant in this way, because it's the death that happens before Christ. Before Jesus dies, John the Baptist dies. It's a special death, it's the unusual death in the liturgy. It's not unusual in life. Certainly not life before Christ. And in fact, I think the three birthdays help us to understand why the death of John the Baptist is remembered in our liturgy. Just a memorial, and in fact the reading of the day doesn't refer to him directly. But I think it's because of the three. John the Baptist is the first to die before Christ, and yet free from sin. But his death is not redemption. His death doesn't change anything. His birth did, because he was born for the Christ, he was born for the coming of Jesus. It's a sign that everything has changed. His death, though, is just the death of a human being. A death of, in itself, no purpose, no revelation. Nothing is shown by his dying. It's his birth which was remarkable. And of course his life. But Mary's death, and here I have to be careful because it's not defined in Catholic teaching that she died at all. Pius XII, in his definition of the Assumption, is very careful to say when she came to the end of her life. Leave that an open question. whatever happens, her life ends with the assumption of glorification, with the accomplishment of what Christ had died for. Mary and John the Baptist straddle the death of Jesus the Christ. And in fact, the failure of John the Baptist's death to mean anything, the absurd circumstances which leads to his death, the suddenness of it, even the fact that by being beheaded he is not able to be identified, that his humanity is taken away, is a sign not of change, but of nothing having changed. Until Jesus dies, nothing has changed. The birth of John the Baptist is a sign that everything has changed, not his death. And so the strange thing about the death of John the Baptist is its unimportance. In itself, it means nothing. John the Baptist is the one we also believe had been freed from sin, and among the first to share in the fruits of Christ's triumph. The empty death is itself significant, because that emptiness will be filled with the triumph of Christ. The great emptiness of John the Baptist's death witnesses to that fulfilling, that filling up, that pouring in the life of Christ into human death. And conversely, Mary's assumption is a sign of just what that means. Christ's conquest of death fills our deaths with life. That's why we celebrate so many deaths of so many saints, because we're celebrating the power of Christ. We're celebrating a power which doesn't take death away, and indeed doesn't make it much less bitter. It fills it with meaning, fills it with triumph. One man died before Christ, and witnesses to the meaninglessness of life before Christ. And the many have died since Christ, and all of that has been the triumph and the victory of life itself in Jesus our Lord.